There seems to be two kinds of people in this world. Those who like surprise parties and those who do not. And you usually know which one you are if the thought of your family and friends hiding behind a couch ready to flip on the light and yell surprise causes you to panic and sweat. You would rather plan a surprise party for someone else than have one planned for you. But whether we like surprises or not, the journey of faith is full of them. We find them all throughout the pages of Scripture. Like back there where the prophet Isaiah heard the calling of God and was more than a little hesitant. That he was taken completely off balance. He felt as if he had unclean lips. That before he ever said, "Here am I," he first said, "Who, me?" And then there was the woman who walked into the house where all of these people were whispering behind her back because, as they said, she was a sinner. But she elbowed her way through the crowd and knelt at Jesus' feet and anointed them. And to everyone's surprise, Jesus said, louder than a whisper, "Your sins are forgiven." And then there was Peter, who had followed all of the Jewish commandments, never letting any unclean food pass his lips. But then, right there in the middle of the book of Acts, he stood up in the middle of the Jerusalem council as people are arguing and debating about Jew versus Gentile. And he said, "Gentiles should not have to become Jewish because they too have received the Holy Spirit." It was a holy surprise. That it is, as John Claypool used to say, God's other name is surprise. And Abraham and Sarah were surprised under the oaks of Mamre. That sitting there outside of his tent, Abraham looked up and he saw the Lord wandering down the road like three travelers. And he hopped up and he went to get water, bread, foot washing, and provided them rest. All of which sounds a good bit like worship, like the waters of baptism. And the bread of communion, and the foot washing, or the ways of Jesus, and the rest of Sabbath. And Abraham sat there under that tree, never wanting to leave. And then the Lord said to Sarah, "You will have a son." And all she could do was laugh that God's other name is surprise. Sounds like that story where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John all the way up to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were surprised by that grand light that surrounded Jesus and Moses and Elijah standing on either side. And they did not want to leave. They wanted to stay right there on top of that mountain, suggesting, "Let's just build some dwelling places." It's like that last day of passport, where you don't want to pack your bags and head home. Or those last few minutes of the Christmas Eve service, where we stand here, and we don't want to blow out our candle after singing Silent Night. But unfortunately, life does not allow that to happen, because life continues to happen. It is that anxiety that starts to rise up inside of us, even when we try our best to ignore it. Or that fear that comes out of nowhere and grabs us, even when we try to stay calm. Or it's the pain which continues to linger even after we have bandaged the wound. That life is full of rough roads, flat towers, and blown engines, leaving us stranded on the side of the road, feeling completely helpless. And whenever we feel stranded, we long for those other moments under the tree or on top of the mountain where we felt surrounded by God's presence. And in that distress, we might not question whether God loves us, but we might wonder whether God's love is big enough to carry us through what we cannot go around. They say there are two kinds of people in this world: those who like roller coasters and those who do not. And I always enjoyed riding roller coasters growing up until this moment when I was in college and I was a camp counselor for the summer, and we took all of our campers to an amusement park about an hour or two away. It wasn't near the size of Six Flags, but it had those swings that went high up in the air and twirled around. They had those bumper cars where you get off of them jittery and shaking afterwards. And it had one roller coaster, but it went all the way upside down doing a loop-de-loop. So I waited in line with all of my campers, and we loaded up the roller coaster, and I got in the very last car. And I watched as the ride operator started to walk down the line, sort of haphazardly, leaning over here and there, making sure the safety restraints were correct for everyone. But he didn't make it as far back as where I was. And my lap bar wouldn't go down. I was pushing and pulling and wondering, this roller coaster goes upside down. And then the roller coaster started to pull out of the gate. And I panicked. Started to wave my hands, thinking, can I hold on to this thing as we go upside down? I was pushing and pulling, and then all of a sudden, it fell into place. And I'm sure it was the matter of just a couple seconds. But even a couple seconds can leave a lasting impression on us. I wondered, will I ever get on a roller coaster again? That there are those experiences in life that leave us feeling like a wound that is tender to the touch. And when we experience life's hardest encounter, we long for those encounters under the tree or on top of the mountain where we felt God's presence. And perhaps because those two things happen so close together, life's hard experiences and our longing for God's presence, sometimes we can get the two confused. But we should never confuse life's hardships with God's goodness, that it is, as Maya Angelou writes. I find it interesting that the meanest life, the poorest existence, is attributed to God's will. But as human beings become more affluent, as their living standard and style begin to ascend the material scale, God descends the scale of responsibility. That we should never confuse life's hardships with God's goodness. Because when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus is always on the side of healing. Jesus is never on the side of heartache. So God is on the side of hope, not suffering. That when we face hardship, God is not behind it. God is on the other side, the side of healing, which means God's love is big enough to carry us through life's hardest experiences. And it doesn't matter if we like surprises or not. That is the most welcome surprise of them all. That God's love is big enough to hold us up and to carry us forward. That apparently there is only one kind of person in this world, because we all face hardship. And we can all lean on God's love for strength. Martha discovered this in a fit of frustration with her sister, that she went to Jesus, about Mary, full of frustration. And who hasn't gone to God frustrated with a brother or a sister, a parent or a child? That Martha was so busy running around the house, tending to all of the tasks of the day, those things that fill all of our days, pressing in on us, feeling as if we have little room for anything else. The problem was, as she saw it, Mary was not helping. She had chosen simply to sit down and have a conversation with Jesus. But I wonder if Mary simply did not want to help with all of the task at hand, or did Mary actually choose what was more difficult? Stopping and stepping outside of everything else and opening herself up to God's surprise. That when we are hurting, it is hard to slow down. That when we are struggling, it is so difficult to be vulnerable. But Abraham and Mary invite us to return to the tree where or to the table, to the places where we have experienced God's love before, trusting that God's love is big enough to carry us through, that we return to the waters of baptism, to the bread of communion, to the foot washing or the ways of Jesus, to the renewal of Sabbath, because they open us up. They remind us it is not about what we do. It's about what God has done and what God continues to do, embracing us with a love that will never let us go, and a love that just might surprise us a time or two. Amen.